If you have your Bibles, we're going back to Romans chapter 12 today. We looked at Romans chapter 12 just a little bit last week. And we started talking about this idea of living holy lives. After all, we saw from Scripture last week, that's what God has called His church to be, holy. And so, we're still thinking about this. I asked this question, how in the world, in the 21st century, with a whole lot of unholiness around us, can we live holy lives? And so I thought it necessary today to take a few minutes just to pick some scripture, and I've done that from Romans 12, beginning at verse 9, to show us, to help us understand what does it look like, and yes, even in the 21st century. And so I've done that. Now, I've done that from Romans chapter 9. Now, if you read the Pauline letters much, you understand that within the contents of those letters, they are all directional in their scope, helping people who used to be Gentiles or caught up in the law or whatever realize how do we now live in Christ. That's what pretty much all the letters do. They describe to us and they help us understand, now how do I live in Christ? And Paul reminds them, and you've read this quote, and such were some of you, when he talks about sin, but you've been redeemed. And when we have been redeemed in Christ, he then gives us instruction on how to walk in this pathway with Christ. And so, talking last week about holiness, I want to give us some scripture today. I call it Holiness Lived Out, taken from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. So here we go. He starts right where I left off a couple, 3 weeks ago when we were talking about love. Remember love? Remember that topic? Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And if we don't love our neighbors as ourselves, we're really not loving God like we say we do. We talked about that for a couple of weeks. Here's how he starts in the letter to the Romans. Love, let love be without hypocrisy. That's precisely what he's challenging us to. If, Jim, you say you love me with all of your heart, soul, and strength and mind, and do not love your neighbor as yourself, and Jesus said the second command is just like the first, you are really loving only in hypocrisy. And Paul said, to live as Christ followers, to live holy lives, he said, let our love be without hypocrisy, let it be pure. So that's how he starts this little dialogue about living holy lives. When he goes from there, let love be without hypocrisy, he then moves into abhor what is evil. Now let me just say a word about that. I told you before that if the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God does not fashion us and mold us and form us, the world will. Remember? We saw that last week, and the world isn't a very holy place. Fair amount of evil. Fair amount of sin. Sometimes that even happens in the church. But Paul says, abhor what is evil. Now, let me just say this too. It is okay to abhor evil and sin, but do not let our abhorrence of evil become sin. You still with me? He's challenging us to let love define who we are. Love in Christ. He is challenging us to abhor the evil of the day. And I'm just saying, in putting those two together, do not let our abhorrence of evil, because there's plenty to go around, we all know that, do not let our abhorrence of evil become sin. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if we're so angry with someone, we got that kind of anger and bitterness in our heart, it's the same as murder. That's what Paul is talking about here. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, he says in the second part of that verse. And so I'm just interjecting here. It's okay to abhor sin and evil, but do not let our abhorrence of that cause us to sin. Moving on, he says, cling to what is good. Verse 10, long verse, boiled down to about four words, really. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor and giving preference to one another. In short, this verse simply says, be kind to one another. Wouldn't that go a long way in everyday living? In our homes, in our factories, in our government, in our school, and in our churches. Wouldn't that go a long way? That's holy living being lived out in the 21st century, friends. Be kind to each other. I know it's not easy because the devil is here. And he's got an army around that wants to see that you're uncomfortable and you hurt and marriages are destroyed and churches are splitting and everything else. But with God leading us as individuals, as families in the church, we can, in fact, love without hypocrisy. We can, in fact, cling to what is good. We can be kind to each other. 11, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I just want to mention to you this morning that, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist to serve the Lord. We can serve the Lord in everyday living. We just take this advice from Paul, allow God's Spirit to lead us in everyday life. We can be fervent in spirit. We can be led by the Lord. We can be serving the Lord in everyday life. You don't have to be a pastor to serve the Lord. That's not new to you though, right? You know that. Well, give me one of these if you know that. You don't have to be a pastor to serve the Lord. You can do it in everyday living. He goes on. Rejoicing in hope. I want to stop there before I go to patience and tribulation. I was talking to one of our own this week that learned his cancer is far worse than, cancer can be. And in my conversation with him, we were both in tears knowing that this kind of cancer is very, very deadly. His words to me were, yet I can rejoice in the hope. You see, friends, the world can bog us down. Life can bog us down. And if we don't have the hope of the blessed Redeemer, if we don't have the hope of Jesus Christ as Lord, if we don't have the hope of heaven because we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, then we just plain don't have any hope. And we can rejoice in that hope regardless of our situations. He proved it to me this week. I don't know if I got that kind of strength. And yet he said to me in very difficult circumstances, I'm rejoicing in my spirit for the hope we have in Jesus. That's what Paul is talking about in holy living. You say, Jim, I can't do that. I can't either by ourselves. But when we surrender completely to Christ, I don't mean just in, yeah, Jim, I believe in God. I mean when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow His Holy Spirit to lead us in newness of life, we can rejoice in the most dismal of situation. Why? Because we still have a hope in glory. Amen. We still have a hope in glory. I have sat with many a folk in their dying days. And when they know Jesus, they have a hope for eternity. If we don't know Jesus, we don't have this hope. And so, Paul is simply saying, we can rejoice in the valley of the shadow of death when we know Him, because we have a hope. And so, I know it's not easy, and I know it's not physically possible, but in the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, these things are really doable. Paul wouldn't have wrote it if it wasn't. He wouldn't have challenged us to do something we can't do. And so, now, moving on to patience in tribulation. there's some Christians around the world today that are really in tribulation. I don't know how much you watch Christian news or listen to Christian radio or read Christian publications or get Voice of the Martyrs or those kind of things, but brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you there's Christians around the world and more, but he's talking to the church here. There are Christians in tribulation all over this globe. There are Christians being told to leave this country, convert to Islam, or die. How would you like that for your Sunday morning things to choose from? There are people that are living this way. They are living in tribulation. And Paul tells us to really show the King of Kings in us and really reflect the image of Jesus to be patient in tribulation. And I just wonder, friends, what will the world see when they see you and I in tribulation? Will they see patience? Or will they see us looking and acting just like the world? Paul says this is holiness lived out. To be patient in your tribulations. I know it's not easy. But we've got to get to that place of surrender. Total surrender to Jesus. Total surrender to His Spirit. So He can lead us into these places of holiness. So He can lead us in these places of dependence upon Him, of comfort in Him, and yes, even peace in Him in the midst of the storm. And so I wonder today, can we live this way? Can we be patient in tribulation? Can we continue steadfastly in prayer? We just talked about that a month ago. And Paul reminds the church at Rome, this is something the church should do. We should be steadfast in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We should do this. We should commune with the Father regularly, yes, as individuals, but also corporately. Then he says, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. Those are very self-explanatory, very doable, and yet undone most of the time. We see those words in Scripture, and we sometimes get this idea, well, they made their bed, they can go ahead and lay in it. When Paul says, if you see somebody in your midst, if you see somebody of the household of faith in need, the rest of us are to rise up for the need. Distributing to the needs of the saints is holiness lived out and given to hospitality. Now 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know what? This is exactly what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is exactly what Jesus said. And so I say to you, don't just love those that are lovable. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. This is exactly what Jesus said. Paul is challenging the church. Bless those who persecute you. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but if I put my spot in some of the Christian spots around the globe, I'm not sure blessing would be the first thing out my mouth. It hurts to be persecuted. It hurts to lose your loved one. It hurts to see your church burned down. It hurts to see limbs and such hacked off by rebels. It hurts to see these things. And yet the way of holiness is find yourself in the Spirit of God, in the strength of the Master, to not curse them, but to bless them. Holiness lived out. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I don't know if you have occasion to do that or not, but I hope you take the time. When you know your fellow man or fellow woman is rejoicing in something, then rejoice with them. You know they're mourning, they're sorrowful, they're weeping in their spirit. I pray that that's something that we just is part of who we are. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. He is simply saying to the church, be a humble people. That's holiness lived out. Puffed up, proud, cocky, arrogant is not what God is looking for in His followers. And Paul gives us these two verses. 17, repay no one evil for evil. If you're like me, when someone has hurt your children or your spouse or your family, the first thing that comes into your mind are typically not pleasant thoughts. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Typically, they're not pleasant thoughts. I've been there. Our mind starts to conjure up all kind of nastiness towards those that hurt your family and my family. But Paul writes to repay no one evil for evil. And I know we can rationalize, yeah, but, preacher, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what they did to my kids. We can rationalize, we can argue all we want, and the answer is the same. Repay no one evil for evil. He's going to build on that in just a couple verses. Bear with me. 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all people. That's what he's calling the church to. Be a peaceful people. Jesus said the same thing when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And he says, if it is all possible, church of God, be at peace with people. After all, aren't we led by and filled with the Prince of Peace, even Jesus? And then he says, building on 17, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. You know what that means, right? Don't retaliate. Don't take matters into our own hands. You know what? I can tell you, I've lived through this on a few circumstances. When we turn the difficulties over to the Lord, I mean genuinely turn them over. Pray. Get your family together and pray, or your spouse together, or whatever your family makeup is, and pray and say, God, we've been wronged, and we're going to go ahead and not repay evil for evil. We're going to not avenge. We're going to turn this over to you. I can assure you the Lord takes over. I have seen it. Changes hearts. Changes attitudes, changes behaviors. When we take matters into our own hand and look for retaliation and to avenge ourselves and make things right, that's not holiness lived out. That's not what God is asking of His people. Let me go on. Our time is almost up. And here's why he said, do not avenge yourselves. I'll start over with 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. And 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, this is quite simple, but yet difficult. Holiness lived out. Now, I've had to go through these very quickly because our time is short today with communion and all. But I would encourage you to take this chapter this afternoon and have a serious look again in your translation of what it's really saying to you. If you have trusted Christ as Lord and you are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, this is doable. He wouldn't have given us an instruction if it wasn't. And so I just want to encourage you, church, whatever church we come from, if you are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, these things are doable because we have the Holy Spirit of God at our disposal. And friends, let me just say this. I've said this a few times. If you haven't been born again in the Spirit, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I mean really surrendered, invited Him to take control, none of this is doable. Forget it. Because we're just operating in the flesh. and operating in the flesh, it isn't going to happen. And so maybe today as we sing this last song, we're going to sing one final hymn to close. Maybe today the starting place is, God, I surrender. I've been trying to do things my own way for a long time, and I ain't living up to any of this. Maybe our first prayer is, Father, forgive me. I need Jesus. Come into my life and help me. Maybe that's our first prayer today. Or maybe you've been struggling with some things and you just need to ask God for a little more of His grace, a little more of His love to help you live holy lives like He's instructed us to. Whatever the case may be, while we're singing this last song, Pastor Les is here and I'm here. If you want to pray about something, we'll be up here. If you want to come to the altar and kneel and pray, that's okay too. If you want to come up here and sit in the front row, we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. But while we're singing this last song, if you have a need this morning, we'd like to pray for you. Let's stand together. What page is it? 191. Let's sing this song together as we close this morning's worship.